Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is not your ho-hum Happy New Year. What are we going to talk about? It was the holidays. There was nothing in the news. Let's try to figure out something to talk about. My goodness, there was some massive news, some massive Montana news that took place during the holidays here. Hey, Aaron Flint here. Great to be back with you in this new year. Happy New Year 2026 to every single one of our listeners out there. Some of the biggest Montana news just came out the day before yesterday on the afternoon of New Year's Eve. In fact, I think I first saw the news on X when conservative political consultant Jake Eaton, who also was the campaign manager for our Attorney General, Austin Knutson, shared the news on X. Jake Eaton now with us on the phone lines. Jake, isn't it interesting how big news like this always seems to get buried in the holidays or on like a Friday afternoon, huh?
Nothing says this is a message that we want all Montanans to hear, like putting it out at 3 o'clock on New Year's Eve.
But yeah, what a message it was. Basically, as you pointed out on X, the phony, fraudulent ethics complaint that was filed against the AG Knutson is dismissed. Not only that, but this Supreme Court panel essentially said that they violated the due process rights of our elected attorney general here in the state of Montana.
Well, right, and not just once did they violate his due process rights, but the decision outlines multiple times where this Democrat-controlled commission on practice that oversees lawyer discipline violated the attorney general's constitutional rights. And that should be chilling for every attorney in the state of Montana, because if they can do this to the most public-facing attorney that has, you know, a giant bully pulpit, that has the ability to make his case known in the public. Like, what are they doing to these guys nobody's ever heard of, right? To just your run-of-the-mill attorney that they can run over who has no recourse, who has, you know, no publicity machine, who has, you know, no apparatus around them to help get the story out. I mean, it's really, really disturbing.
Yeah, for those who haven't seen or heard the news yet, it was a massive 6-1 victory for Attorney General Austin Knutson as this Montana Supreme Court panel basically shot down this Democrat-controlled panel, which had pushed forward this absurd ethics complaint against him. We all knew exactly what it was on day one. It was weaponization of the government against a Republican elected official. They were trying to interfere in the 2024 elections, and they were trying to bog down our Attorney General from standing up to the Biden regime, which was allowing illegal aliens to invade this country and invade this state. We'll talk more with Jake Eaton right after this quick break, and then later in the hour, we'll get to your phone calls.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
All right, so I told you my headline at MontanaTalks.com. Here is a headline from the Lee newspapers. Montana Supreme Court rejects Knutson suspension. The High Court's New Year's Eve order concludes a 5-year saga that ignited over a separation of powers dispute between the legislative and judicial branches. Chief Justice Corey Swanson authored the majority opinion, which was co-signed by 5 judges. Here was a key line from this majority opinion that stood out to me. Quote, "We fail to understand why Knutson should be punished for sharp opinions based on sufficiently recited facts criticizing the court's conduct. Jake, I'm sure some people are kind of scratching their heads right now. They're like, wait a minute, the Montana Supreme Court sided with Republican Attorney General Austin Knutson? Well, there's a reason why, most of the Supreme Court justices, which is still run by a left-wing mob, a Democrat partisan mob that controls the Montana Supreme Court, they had to recuse themselves from the case. So that's the only reason why I think this outcome got the right outcome.
Well, right. And, so what happened, for once, the ethical conflict was so much that even our justices of the Supreme Court had to acknowledge it and recuse themselves. And so they were replaced by a panel of district court judges. So you had the two new justices, Chief Justice Swanson and Justice Bitigieri, who weren't involved in all of this controversy over the last 5 years. So they sat on the case, and then there was these five district court judges selected from across the state, which, something worth mentioning about that, two of those judges were Democrat Steve Bullock appointees.
Yeah.
Right. So this isn't like some super favorable, like, oh, they went out and found, the most five conservative, district court judges in the state or anything like that. Like, two of them were Bullock appointees. So I think that's worth mentioning. But
The one guy was Maury Povich's babysitter back in the day. I remember him from college. And he was a Democrat-appointed judge. Maury Povich's babysitter even said, they went way too far here.
Yeah, I mean, he wrote a great concurrence, that he even went a little bit further than the majority of the court was willing to go. But this just goes to show you, when you have, independent, legitimate, judges who are actually out to look out for the rule of law and not just partisan hacks who are there to achieve a partisan outcome, that the system still works, right? When we have, these left-wing ideologues like we have a majority of on the Supreme Court right now, and we have them in district courts all over the state, that's when the system breaks down, is when people become more concerned about achieving their preferred political ends than actually, upholding the Constitution and following the rule of law. So I think it's good for a lot of reasons, but one of those reasons that this ruling is so great is because it does show that the system still works.
Big picture,
there are checks and balances.
Well, the reason the system worked is because we actually, the people of Montana elected a new chief justice with Corey Swanson, who I think really wanted to deliver fairness here and is trying to clean up a lot of the mess on the court. But he needs backup, which is why we need Judge Dan Wilson to join him this year after the 26 elections, if you ask me. But big picture, everybody saw the weaponization, the lawfare against President Donald J. Trump, and the American people rejected it, and they supported President Trump even more so after the fact. I think the same thing happened here with Attorney General Austin Knutson. This was election interference. This was lawfare designed to interfere with the 2024 elections, and A.G. Knutson still won by 20-plus points. And they were trying to bog him down and block him from completing his objectives in standing up to the Biden administration. He was still successfully moving forward with the official day job, even in the midst of these shenanigans.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he led, over 60 lawsuits against Joe Biden, some of them which are still unresolved, but, about three-quarters of them that they've won. I think it's also important, we go back, this thing has been dragged out for so long that it's kind of hard to remember. This all started because the Montana Supreme Court came in on a Sunday morning to issue a ruling on a motion brought by their own employee that was attempting to hide Supreme Court's emails from public disclosure. That's the thing that started all of this. As Seaborn Larson, which is not a lot of times I say good things about Lee Enterprises in general, but I do think, Seaborn did a really good job in that Lee story of just kind of outlining a lot of the background and stuff that was going on. But that's the, you know, separation of powers dispute that he's talking about. That's what happened. You know, the legislature was trying to get these emails, and the Supreme Court came in on Sunday morning, you know, got their own employee, the court administrator, to file a motion and say, no, you know, let's just cover all this up, and we'll just, you know, not release our public, our emails to the public like every other elected official has to do, right? If you want anybody's emails, whether it's Governor Gianforte, you know, Commissioner Brown, the Secretary of State, Attorney General, you can put in a public records request that if you pay the whatever, you know, $100 that it costs to put them together,
yeah,
you can have them.
It's in our Montana Constitution.
But we are a
right-to-know state in our state constitution, but the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court said, oh, well, no, we're above that whole Constitution thing. That doesn't
apply to us.
Well, the other angle here is this was a part of a coordinated effort against AGs all across the country, as the Federalist has documented. Jake Eaton, stand by. I'll come back to you on that point right after this.
If you... Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, a few more minutes here with conservative political consultant Jake Eaton, who was also Attorney General Austin Knutson's campaign manager in the 2024 elections. And then if you got something you want to talk about, give us a call right now, 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well. If you got something you want to share, we got the phone lines open on this Freedom Friday. Great question just came in on the Montana Talks app. Jake, this one came in from Morgan in Helena. Are there consequences for the commission who violated due process and the election interference? Isn't that illegal? Jake, I'm with Morgan here. Like, this was so blatant election interference. This was an abuse of power. This was weaponization. Pam Buesi and anybody affiliated with this, they need to be held accountable.
Well, absolutely they do. And it's pretty simple, right? It's the Supreme Court of Montana has said that they violated his constitutional rights. And in the rules of professional conduct for attorneys, there's a rule that says it's a violation of the rules of professional conduct to violate the law. So it seems pretty cut and dry that the Supreme Court has already ruled they violated the Constitution, so now they need to be held accountable through the lawyer disciplinary process.
Now, the challenge, of course, is we still have this partisan far-left mob that has, you know, the majority on the Montana Supreme Court. So even with a fair, newly elected Chief Justice, you still have the numbers running against you. So it makes people wonder if there will ever be accountability. But I would think if these justices had to recuse themselves from this complaint, maybe a new process could be set up to hold these people accountable. And just like those justices recused themselves before, they should have to do so now and get some fair district court judges, bipartisan appointed, whatever, to have a fair process of accountability. But there needs to be accountability, because we just have to put a stop to this nonsense of interfering in elections.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, you know, here's the thing, right? This complaint was started by a California lawyer, not even somebody from Montana, right? Some lawyer from California filed this complaint against the Attorney General. The Commission on Practice saw it. They thought, oh, what a great opportunity, you know, to hamstring this, you know, aggressive Republican Attorney General. They brought in a longtime Democrat donor and activist to investigate it. The first investigator actually donated to Knutson's 2020 opponent, Rafe Rabel. And they brought him in. He looked at it, and he said, you know what, there's nothing here. Like, we ought to dismiss this with a private letter. And the commission said, no, that's not good enough. You know, and they brought in Tim Strauch from, you know, this Missoula trial lawyer, longtime Democrat donor and activist, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to Democrat candidates and causes. And he conjures up this 41 count, you know, complaint saying that, you know, Knudsen's literally violated almost every rule in the professional code of conduct. So it's not just like they just went through the normal process to get here. But I think, the other thing kind of to your point about the Supreme Court recusing themselves is all these people on the Commission of Practice were appointed by the Supreme Court. So certainly I would think that conflict would rise to the level where they would have to recuse themselves and bring in some, fair, impartial judges that weren't a part of all this.
And Jake, one last thing for you. I know you got to run, and then we got callers on the line. But look, this was taking place all across the country. The same weaponization the Democrats did here in Montana, they were doing to other Republican attorneys general all across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw them do it to Ken Paxton. They tried it in Iowa. They tried it in Kentucky. They tried it in Michigan. They tried it in Florida. I mean, and just, it starts with, just look what they did to President Trump, right? Like, this is no different. When Democrats can't win at the ballot box, they try to do anything and everything possible to derail their opponents. And this is just another great example of the lengths that the left is willing to go to in order to achieve their political agenda.
That's right. And also to overturn the will of the people. Time and time again, we've seen that out of the mob on the Supreme Court, that they can't win at the ballot box here in Montana for the legislature, the governor, on down the line. So they use these judges to try to push their agenda and these justices. Jay Keaton, great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
And thanks, Butter.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right, Happy New Year to you and yours. Okay, into the phone lines we go, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, our first Open Phones Friday, Freedom Friday here of the new year, 2026. I think we got Lee in Kalispell up next. Lee, what's going on? Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year. Yes, this is to graduate the people of the poor people of New York for electing Madani. Now, as far as I can see it, he talked about taxing the rich to pay for stuff in New York. But the rich don't have to stay there, so they can move out. So if you're poor now, you're naturally, I don't care how poor you are, you're now rich and expect to be taxed higher.
Yeah, and they're attacking landlords on day one with some executive orders. How is that going to help the housing situation in the long term? He's promising all this so-called free stuff, but it's not free. Somebody's going to have to pay for it. And you're exactly right. The successful people, a lot of successful people have already fled New York. And if more follow, how are you going to pay for all this stuff?
Exactly.
All right, great point. Thanks for calling in, Lee. Great to hear from you. The Kami Mamdani sworn in as the mayor of New York City. By the way, for those of you that missed it, Wednesday morning I did a Newsmax TV interview, and we were talking about Mamdani being sworn in, and I joked about the fact that he had to be sworn in an underground abandoned subway station. Why? Are the operable subway stations too dangerous because of how the Democrats have destroyed New York? Maybe they needed the American hero Daniel Penny to go provide security for the swearing-in, the official swearing-in ceremony for the Kami Mamdani. Anyway, I think I'll be back on Newsmax actually tonight around 5:45 Montana time on Newsmax. So I look forward to seeing you there possibly. Perry in Columbus. Perry, Happy New Year to you.
Good morning, Aaron. Welcome back. Happy New Year to everybody. First thing I want to do is give a shout-out to our wonderful AG, Austin Knudsen, for having the cojones to stand up to the Supreme Court jokers and ride this mule all the way through. I'll just bet you, I think I understand that, and everybody needs to remember this, that the one vote to convict him was almost certainly Catherine Bidegary, robed activist hack that she is. But actually, that's one gift, but we also, it sounds like we got a wonderful gift from the Lee newspaper enterprise, and that's their possible crumbling and sale to somebody who might actually be interested in real news instead of appropriated press propaganda slandering and slanting the news at every opportunity. But for those of you in Montana, you know, information is power. And just like myself, I think a lot of you like printed newspapers. I have an alternative for you that is we've been using for a couple, 3 years now, that's a wonderful source of printed news. It's the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H Times. And you can subscribe to that paper every Sunday for a year for less than it costs to get that fish wrapper, the Billings Gazette. And good riddance to them and all of the Lee newspaper leftist satellites that operate as agents of the modern American left.
Yeah, so so for those who haven't heard, the Lee newspapers apparently has a new owner, some very wealthy guy in Florida. That's right, Jerry, Florida. Some wealthy guy in Florida purchased the Lee newspapers, which is the Helena IR, the Missoulian, the Ravalli Republic, the Montana Standard, et cetera. But I don't know anything about the guy, and some of the people I've reached out to don't really know anything about him. So it makes you wonder, like, what's this guy's intentions? Does he have political leanings? Does he truly want to restore them as a news entity? I mean, I do commentary. I give opinions. That's what people want in talk radio. They want to agree or they want to disagree with you, but they want to hear what you have to say. But I've also been in the news business. And so, and too often you see people in the news business, they put their commentary in as if it's news, and instead of leaving it for the opinion pages or for talk radio programs. And so, yeah, we'll see what they do there. It's going to be an interesting one to watch. Perry, great to hear from you. Morgan in Helena has another great point. Morgan messaged us on the app once again, talking about the Supreme Court and the election interference against Attorney General Austin Knudsen. Great point here. She says this: if the Supreme Court justices were so involved in the legal violations to be recused, shouldn't they also be held accountable? It's a very good point there by Morgan in Helena. Let's go next to, let's see, we got Brian in Billings. Brian, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, my call is more about a question. I was hoping you know. I think George might know, and maybe other listeners would like to opine, but I've been doing some research online, and I'm not getting very clear answers on the funding of the Federal Reserve building. We know that the Federal Reserve is a private entity, and we pay interest on the debt. But why are we paying for this multi-billion dollar remodel of the Federal Reserve building?
Yeah, that's a good question. I remember when President Trump was hammering Fed Chairman Powell over the cost. I mean, like, the longer that thing goes on, the more it runs up in cost by the tune of billions, right? So I asked Grok. Grok says the project is funded entirely by the Federal Reserve itself, using its own operational revenues, primarily interest income earned off of its holdings of U.S. government securities. So, wow, they have that much money sitting around that they can just waste billions on a fancy new building. That is crazy. Thanks for the call, Brian.
Would Trump? Why would
this
Trump?
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
This week, USDA's Farm Service Agency announced per-acre payment rates for the one-time Farmer Bridge Assistance Program, designed to help producers bridge high input costs and low commodity prices from the 2025 crop year. Eligible producers must be actively engaged in farming and have reported their 2025 planted acres by the December deadline. Now, per-acre payment rates include a few of the following crops: $20.51 for barley, $33.36 for small chickpeas, and $26.46 for large chickpeas. Corn is priced at $44.36 an acre. Lentils, $23.98 an acre. As for wheat, prices are coming in at $30.88 per acre. USDA says producers who qualify for Farmer Bridge Assistance can expect FSA to begin issuing payments on February 28, 2026. While the funding is providing $11 billion in total assistance to program crops, another $11 billion has been set aside for commodities currently not covered. USDA is continuing to evaluate other market impacts. Again, all the filing deadlines for this payment program have passed, and producers can expect those payments if they qualify and enrolled by February 28th. Contact your local Farm Service Agency office with any questions you may have. I'm Lane Northland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
In just a couple of minutes on the show, this is a guest that I wanted to sneak on during the holidays because I thought, man, this is just such a cool deal they're doing. It's such a great message, and it's a great message to hear during the holidays. But heck, it's the first day of the new year from a radio world standpoint, and I know many people, it's still kind of like the holidays because, hey, it's a Friday. Why go back to work on a Friday if you can take a long weekend now and then get back to it on Monday? But either way, it's a great message to share, so we're going to get to that here in just a couple of minutes. First, though, phone lines are open. Let's go to Frank in Evergreen. Frank, happy new year. What's on your mind?
Well, it's apparently Fran from Evergreen. I got my new card from Blue Cross Blue Shield, and they truncated the name field to chop off a K. And
wait, so you went from Frank to Fran? You went from you go transgender on us during the holidays there, Frank or Fran?
I guess so. I guess I have to carry some rouge lipstick or something to make sure I get paid, you know. But hey, the Blue Cross Blue Shield is kind of a funny company. I don't know how you can do that. But then they gave this song and dance. Well, it's all information fed to us from the government. Well, my Medicare card has got my first name, middle initial, and last name. And so does my former Humana account number. So I just, just beware. This company is probably going to cause more difficulty for customers trying to get make things paid. And I think there's going to be a lot of denial.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can call me Frank or Fran or Bill or Bobby or, anything, even Sue. Just lower the freaking health insurance rates, right?
You bet.
Okay. All right, Frank, good to hear from you. Yeah, no, that's interesting. Yeah, well, they use that as an excuse to deny claims. Well, that's not Fran, that's Frank. Frank, thanks for calling in. I know, making healthcare more affordable, especially in the midst of this Obamacare train wreck, is a key priority of President Trump heading into the new year. And especially, his whole point is he wants to be focused on putting the money in your pocket instead of in the pockets of the big insurance companies, which is a huge contrast from what Obamacare and the Democrats has done to just destroy healthcare in this country. All right, let's see. I think we're transferring our guest into the phone lines right now. So in the meantime, yeah, here we go. I got an email just before Christmas here from our guest, and I was like, oh, we got to get you on the show because I had heard about this gentleman. I was at my wife and I were having breakfast down at Sykes Diner, or lunch, actually, one day. And we were hanging out with the great State Senator John Fuller, a Vietnam veteran. And John Fuller's telling me, hey, you got to meet my friend, Cowboy Bill Miles. So he ended up being there. So I said, we got to say hello to Cowboy Bill Miles. And I believe he is the state chaplain for the VFW. And what a great guy. But anyways, I'm sitting there chatting with Cowboy Bill Miles, and he was talking about everything they're doing to try to combat veteran suicide and getting veterans together. And he was telling me everything, all the great things that the Kalispell VFW is doing right now in particular. And I know he mentioned the name Joe Decree. And that's who I got the email from, was Joe Decree. Joe Decree is now with us on the phone lines. Joe, hope you had a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks a lot. Yeah, it was fun.
Great. Well, I saw a little bit of your background here. So you served 21 years in the military, mostly in the Cold War. You were active duty and National Guard, a Green Beret in 2nd Battalion, 19th Special Forces Group. That's incredible. I was not a Green Beret, but I was in the 19th Special Forces Group for a few years as well. Incredible folks.
Oh yeah, really. With Yeah, what year were you out of?
So I started actually in the Montana Guard. They have a small detachment. And,
right.
And so I got an opportunity to be a part of that, doing some really fun, cool things, jumping out of helicopters and airplanes and things like that. And, you know, my back is very thankful for it. It's not so thankful for it, but it was fun, though. And then I went down to Utah and drilled out of there with the 1st Battalion and with the group. And, yeah, just incredible experience, incredible opportunities.
Yeah, group headquarters in Utah. We have I've got a lot of jumps in there. Actually, Camp Williams right there.
Yeah,
it's funny. You jump into a polygamous colony. It's the drop zone is outside of a polygamous colony. So, you know, it's the good news is they're good Mormons. So the ground's always tilled and soft. You know, but the bad news is, you know, it's weird because nobody's smiling at the polygamous colony. It's just anyway, just kind of fun story. But that's everybody's funny. Walking around scowling at each other.
Some of the local guys that are part of the SF Association, you know, when I had told them that I was a part of 19th Group, they're like, oh, the great part about, you know, about those guys is you always have a designated driver. So, pretty funny.
Well, I was out of West Virginia, so there was not the designated driver option.
yeah, that's it. You better call an Uber for a 15-passenger van
right.
With the West Virginia boys. That's
yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's incredible. Well, you know, part of the reason why I wanted to have you on is because, hey, well, why not? Sounds like a great dude. I know Cowboy Bill Miles said great things about you. But, you know, so Cowboy was telling me, he said, hey, we are tracking the numbers. We have significantly reduced the number of veteran suicides. And I'm like here in Montana? He's like, yes, here in Montana. And so I need to get Cowboy on one of these days as well. But for me, I've continued to ask the question, okay, we have all these programs that focus on veteran suicide. So why do the veteran suicide keeps going up? And I think part of it is that we're missing a faith component, not just in so many of these programs, but just in so much more of our culture. Our culture has just moved further and further away from faith.
I have to agree with that. We started that. Actually, it's not... It's VFW affiliate. It's not sponsored by the VFW. We run a church out of our VFW in Kalispell, post 2252. We call it Trinity Operations Center, which, you know, any good gun knows the acronym TALK, you know, the forward headquarters for battle. And, you know, it really started as a Bible study for veterans after a suicide. We've had several suicides at our post in the last 5 or 6 years. It's a little alarming. Maybe, I want to say three. But most recently this past September, and you know, a couple of years ago it happened, and me and a guy like, well, what can we, and I'm the chaplain, the local chaplain at the local Kalispell post, and it was like, what can we do to try to stop this? Because this was a kid who honestly had, you know, he was the guy who helped everybody else not suicide. And so when he did it, it was a great shock. And it was like, well, the only thing we can do is, you know, maybe we can introduce Jesus. You know, I mean, guys believe, but they don't practice. You know, there's a practical component to faith that walks out, and it's hard. I think most people, especially if you grew up in a very rigid, liturgical faith system, you know, you may see faith as kind of a museum piece. Yeah, I have my faith and I pray, but it's like walking out in a practical, gritty fashion, because, you know, Jesus got down and dirty with the rest of us. So this thing started as a Bible study at about 80 decibels across a table in a very crowded VFW bar with a bunch of, ironically, Marines. I say ironically because, you know, the Marine Corps started in a bar. And so we decided to take that to Warren's house and do it as a formal Bible study. And it was fairly flourishing for about a year and a half. And through that, they're like, hey, you know, you have a good way of explaining these things to us. You know, let's start a church. And so kind of that's where it started, as an effort to do that. Now, the VFW lets us use, actually, their meeting room is where we do the service on Sundays. And we try to orient it really toward veterans, because I believe there's a great deal of military stuff in the Bible. And it's not just the, you know, not just the battles and not just, you know, David defeating Goliath. Those are huge parts of it. But I think there's lots of other less discussed aspects of it. And so, you know, things like, you know, a special forces A-team is 12 guys. you know, we've tried 10, we've tried 14, we've tried 16. The number that works is 12. That's a very interesting number because that's the number of apostles. 12 is a holy number. And I don't know why it works. You know, groups of guys larger than 12 when you're trying to get things done tend to be glitchy. Groups of guys around 12 tend to work very well. You know, these things are not coincidental. If we look at, you know, my specialty as a Green Beret guy, I would say it was unconventional warfare. And you're familiar with those concepts. You know, it's living in denied territory, living local. It's more of a hearts and minds, small engagement versus grand, you know, toe-to-toe kind of battles, which the United States really pioneered during the French and Indian Wars in the 1750s and 60s. But really, in reading the New Testament one day, I kind of realized that that is the Book of Acts church. It is an unconventional warfare operation. Christ was absolutely in denied territory.
It's kind of like
the Roman government.
It's kind of like Hugh Hewitt's book, yeah. In But Not Of. That's a fascinating take on UW, In But Not Of, in the same concept.
Right.
Hold that thought. Joe Decree, we'll come back to you.
Yes,
quick
sir.
Break. Quick break. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I was a while back, I was talking with a lady who is a VA provider. She provides medical services for the VA. She's not a VA worker. She's, you know, one of the community care folks. But she was asking me, she was saying, Aaron, how do we get these guys talking to each other? Gals, too, the veterans. How do we get these folks talking to each other? Because you guys know it. You know, we've got to get veterans sharing their stories and talking to each other, and it makes such a big impact. And so that's why, Joe Decree, when I heard about what you're doing, basically running a church out of a VFW here in Montana, or Bible studies, et cetera, it's like, wow, I just think this is going to be so impactful.
Well, we gotta meet the guys where they are, and I think that's the thing with veterans. You almost have to do, you know, because as veterans, you know, we tend to withdraw. Right. And so you got to find him. You got to root him out. You'd be like, hey, I see you sitting at the end of the bar drinking too much. Why don't you come talk to me? And some of those conversations are harsh, man. I'm also a counselor and a life coach. Like I do a few things. And some of those conversations are hard. You know, I've had guys that can be like, you know, well, you know, like the guy I was telling you about the suicide, well, his best friend came to me. We actually the only guy in my church that we baptized. Because he said, where's my friend Dustin? I'm like, I don't know. You know, he wasn't a believer. He committed suicide. That is above my pay grade. And he was like, I need to know something about this. I'm like, you do. And he said, well, I've always been kind of standoffish. And I'm like, dude, you got out of the Marine Corps too early. You got into the combat thing too late. It was very unsatisfying. You've had a bunch of nick jobs, you know, that people got for you that you hate. You drink too much and your best friend just died. He says, yeah. I'm like, how's life with Jesus doing so far? And he said, oh, God. I'm like, that would be my statement as well, my friend. How about you come to church? Like, let's talk. And so, like, it's those kinds of conversations or the conversations where, like, yeah, man, I get it. You're suicidal. Like, we've, you know, most of us have been there once. So, hey, man, here's, you know, sometimes you talk a lot. Sometimes you don't say much. But, you know, here's how we walk out. You know, God has a plan for you. Like, this is not it.
Well, and I wonder right now, you know, after, you know, the last year in particular, we saw a surge in young people, especially returning to church and going back to church or going to church for the first time. And I wonder if that's happening with veterans, even the ones that aren't so young necessarily, that are, you know, that have been in the fight through and through for the last 20 years. Tell us a little bit about how you work your church at the VFW. For other, you know, VFW folks or listeners out there, you were telling me you start every service by basically looking at things through an operations order format, through the op order format.
I would tell you, I believe that the Bible works very well as a military manual. And it's not do this, don't do that. There is a lot of that in the Bible, but there's a lot of just commander's intent. kind of stuff, right? And if you, you know, if you're a veteran, you get it. If you're not, you're still welcome to come to church. You know, we'll break it down as basic as I feel like I need to. But yeah, the operations format, right? Situation, mission, execution, sustainment, command, control, all that stuff, right? So that's how we look at it. So, for example, we did a couple of sermons on King Josiah not too long ago. I was just talking to somebody about this. That's why I remember it. And, you know, King Josiah is a return to the commander's intent. They find the book of the law, maybe an original scroll or the first generation copy, in the temple as they're cleaning out the crap from people who have desecrated the temple. And Josiah reads it, was like, oh my God, we're not doing this right. Well, that's commander's intention, right? And that's execution because it's a law. This is what you need to do, okay? And it's coordinating instructions because this is how we deal with each other, you know, the inheritance thing and all that. And this is sustainment. This is how the church continues on. This is how the people continue on. And I think that from a military perspective, the Bible becomes faster to understand. I won't say the veterans have a better understanding. I won't say anything like that. I will say some of the first Gentile converts in history were Roman soldiers. You know, the faith of the centurion, right? In Matthew 8. You know, and that's why I stayed in the Army 20 years. I didn't know why I was doing it. I had no clue. I just knew God wanted it, so I was doing it. I was a terrible Christian at the time. But I knew that was a thing, so I hung with it for a while. And, you know, that centurion is like, nah, not only do I understand the law, you can't come to my house without breaking the law. Let's not do that. But I also know that you have authority over life and death. This is a life and death matter. I have authority over life and death. And I see how this works. And I know all you have to do, Jesus, is say the thing.
Well, and Joe DeCree, one of the things that I heard from Cowboy Bill Miles, for example, was like, hey, some VFW posts, you've got a handful of folks. You've got a couple of dozen of folks. In a place like Kalispell, you've got hundreds of members. So you've got to kind of task organize, like, down to squad level to make sure guys are looking out, guys and gals are looking out for each other. And it sounds like you guys are doing all those things right now.
Absolutely.
Joe DeCree, about a minute to go. What do you want to tell folks across Montana? And how can folks find you, find your service, et cetera?
Trinity Operations dot center, operations plural with an S, dot center is the website. You find our statement of belief and all that kind of stuff, or try us out. Come down to the Kalispell VFW on a Sunday, late Sunday morning. We currently meet at 11:30. We may change that time, but currently we're meeting at 11:30. Come on down, try us out. You know, if you know a vet, ask them how they're doing. You know, buy them a cup of coffee, listen to stories. We're losing the Vietnam guys are next, right? We've lost the World War II guys. We're losing the Korean guys are just about gone. We're down to the Vietnam guys. We're losing our hero stories, and there's a lot of them. Find out. And, you know, guys are having a tough day. You know, they can talk. Great, talk to them. If not, you know, send them to me. Send them to Cowboy. You know, we'll talk to them. I go all over the area talking to veterans who are having problems.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for all you're doing.
On transitions and all kinds of stuff.
We got to stay in touch. We got to get you back on the show. We got to get Cowboy here as well. Love what you guys are doing. Thanks so much for being with us. Thanks for your continued service. Greatly appreciated. All right. We're out of time.